Thank you, Arliss, for leading us and for the worship team and all as we have gathered together today. Today is our last Sunday talking about the bells. And so I don't know if you brought your bell in with you, but we'll have a chance later on to ring them. And keep these as a little reminder of this series, if you will, please. You remember what they were? Let's sort of recount them. B stands for bless. E stands for eating. That one was easy to remember, wasn't it? First L stands for listen. The second one for learn Christ. And today it is sent out. To be sent out. This word missional, sometimes people get, the traditional kind of definition that we put to mission means we go into some different culture somewhere across the seas or someplace that has never heard about Jesus. And we talk about being sent out as a missionary. I hope that we have, throughout these weeks together, reinforced the new definition of what mission could be, and that means it's summed up in today's word, which means being sent out, and I would add, in our community. Now, we have people who are sent out at a distance. We have people from our congregation who are serving God in different cultures and places, and that's appropriate, and we thank God for all of that. But I want us to know that God is calling every one of us who is here in this congregation today, and anyone a part of our congregation, we are all to be sent out. That's what the word mission or missionary or missional really means. It means to be sent out. And today we're looking at what it means to be sent out in our community. This passage of scripture from Luke 10 is an interesting passage. In fact, if you look at the first part of chapter 10, Jesus had sent out 72 people into the community. Now, of all the passages of scripture in the Gospels, we hear very little about those people who were sent out. We hear many passages of scripture that are preached on often, and the one that I'm doing today as well, we hear it often about the Good Samaritan. But that first passage of this chapter is about Jesus sending out 72 people into the community around them, announcing Jesus' soon coming. He was soon going to be visiting their towns, and he wanted people to go out and tell them about his coming. Now, the difference today is that Jesus is already out there at work in our community. Amen? Well, the question is, are we out there being a part of God's work, and are we out there helping in that ministry that Christ wants to bring into our community? First reaction is sometimes people say, well, our community here in West Liberty, we're well evangelized, we have lots of churches, we have good people, we have good schools, a lot of our people are in town and so forth, we're all Christian people. What do we need to have mission people going out into our community? Well, I think we also know there are a lot of people in our community who need to know God's love in various ways. And it's interesting that this expert in the law came and talked to Jesus. Now, he wanted to draw Jesus into an argument. There was a lot of argument then about what does the law mean? And what's the most important law that you have to follow? And they would spend hours and days and years discussing that. not a whole lot unlike what it is today. We can get an argument or discussion started about many different things, about how we look at being a Christian. What does this passage of Scripture mean? Or that passage of Scripture? And this expert in the law walked up to Jesus one day and said, "Now, Master, what must I really do? What's the most important thing that I need to do to get eternal life, to get it right?" And people are always interested in that, aren't we? We want to make sure we have it right. What's the most important thing that we need to do to inherit eternal life? And then Jesus said, well, you know, I don't know what this guy's name was, but he said, you know the law. I can't tell you anything new about the law. And the guy says, yes, I know the law says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and your soul and your strength and everything. And then Jesus said, and the second one is to love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor, the people in your community. And so, I can just about see his wheels turning. He thought, this person who is 1 mile down the road might be my neighbor, but what about 2 miles down the road? Are they still my neighbor? You know, or the person living right beside me, is that my neighbor? Well, that's my neighbor, but the person living on the other side of town, is that my neighbor? You know, people are still doing the same thing today. Oh, well, yeah, that passage of Scripture, that's for this person over there, but not for me. You know, you really need to this passage of Scripture, but this person needs this passage, and this is the way you need to interpret it over here. And so we still are doing that same kind of thing. Who is my neighbor? And then Jesus tells a story about the man who was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Now, folks, I have made that journey. It is literally down 3/4 of a mile in terms of elevation from Jerusalem down to the Jordan River, Jericho. It's rocky. It's windy. There are no road lights along the way. All kind of corners, all kind of boulders, all kind of trees that people could hide behind it who wanted to harm a person who was going down the road. And so nobody traveled that road at night by themselves, ever, because it was dangerous. But for whatever reason, this person was making this journey from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and there were a group of bandits, robbers, people up to no good, hiding in the bush, and they attacked this guy, robbed him of all he had, beat him 3/4 to death, and left him lying there naked to die. And then a priest comes walking by. He probably had an entourage of people with him to protect him. He had his on his head and his robe, and he had all these things with him, and he walks by and he sees the guy laying there in the ditch. And I think from the guy laying there in the ditch, he says, well, now there's a priest coming by. Surely this priest is going to help me. But he turns his head and keeps on going. You see, he probably had a 10 o'clock service that he had to get to service, or else, you know, he had some other important thing to do at the temple. What are we involved in that are so important that we don't see the people along the way? Hour or two later, a Levite comes along. Now, the Levite is the priest's assistant. He's the one who does all the things around the temple and gets it all ready. The priest is the one who does the official sacrificing, but the Levite is the one who gets everything prepared. He gets the animals around. He makes sure all the utensils are there, the knives are sharpened. He makes sure that the basin is there to catch the blood. He makes sure that all these things are in place. He is the one who does all these things around the temple and gets it all ready. And the guy thinks, surely this Levite will stop and help me, as he's just about ready to draw his last breath. But the Levite keeps going. He also had things he needed to do. And the guy's just about dead. When a Samaritan comes along, we have no way of understanding the level of prejudice that a Jewish person would have toward a Samaritan. Use your own imagination for the people who are treated in most prejudicial ways, people of a different color or language or background or sexual orientation or religion or something, you have, you name it. And this guy who's almost dead, he sees the Samaritan come by. And the Samaritan stops to help him. But he was dealing with his own prejudice. Because you see, a Jewish person looked at a Samaritan as they were really only half Jews. They had a very, very different interpretation of the law. They were of a different background. They were only half-breed Jews. They really didn't get it. They were part of a false religious view. They were not even considered to be human people. They were referred to as animals. And some Jewish people even called Samaritans dogs. Put yourself in the place of the man who was lying there in the ditch. And one of a person who's different color or religious background or tradition or language was there to help you. That's what this person was facing. And sure enough, the Samaritan, this outcast who didn't, they didn't like Jews any more than the Jews liked them. He stops and he helps him. And he picks him up and he puts him on his own donkey and takes him to the local inn and stays with him for a day or two and gives something to the innkeeper to pay for him and says, I'll be back in a couple of days. Take care of him. And then Jesus said to this expert in the law, now, who was the neighbor? Who is the one who showed compassion? Who is the one who was really reaching out to help another person? Not even the good, upstanding priest or the Levite or the person who was supposed to have it all together or who the person who was in charge of all the ones who took care of other people. It was naturally expected that the priest and the Levite, they would have been the ones who would have helped the poor man. But they were too busy. And then Jesus says, who was the neighbor? The guy didn't have much to say, did he? So I want to ask you, who is your neighbor? And what is God calling you to do to reach out and minister to your neighbor? You say, well, Andy, We're already doing a lot. We did a lot this summer cleaning out basements for people, and we do a lot with MDS, and we do a lot with MMN, and we do a lot with MCC, and we send people, and we do all of this, and we have this new program called Blessing Bags, and we have all those things. We are doing all these things, Andy. What more do you expect us to do? Now, I want to say something to you as Oak Grove congregation. I commend you. You are doing a very good work. But we still have room to grow, okay? There are still people in our community who have needs. Yeah, we've cleaned up after the hurricane and the flood and all this kind of stuff, but there's still people in Dayton that are going to need help for years to come. There's still people all over the country through MDS and so forth who need help. There are ongoing needs in our own community and elsewhere. There is plenty there for us to do. And I want us to hear this one thing today. Yes, we are doing this. We are reaching out in our community. And there is always room to grow. Four things I'd like us to remember out of this story. They are not necessarily profound, but I think they're important. The first thing is, if we're going to be missional, we need to get out of our church and into our community. You see, it's so easy for us as a church. I have some harsh things for us today, folks. I apologize. It's so easy for us to get comfortable in our church. And say, church is all about what happens on Sunday morning, and we have a good worship program, and we have this, and we have Sunday school, and we're doing a good thing, and we have training on Sunday nights, and we have all these things. And yes, there's a new program being started about the visitation team that meets on Monday night to get trained, and we're doing all these things. But natural tendency means we sort of seem to keep thinking that it's all about what happens in the church. Having a good attendance and good participation and bringing new people into the church, and that's important. It's important that we come together. It was important that the people had the temple to go to and the priest and the Levite to take care of things. It was important that the people came to Jerusalem to worship. But it was also important that Jesus said, if you really want to get it, you got to get out of the temple and into the community. So I want to say it. We need to get out of the church and into our community. The whole purpose for coming together as a church is so that we can be prepared and equipped to go out and serve others. And you say, oh, well, I'm not able to talk to people, and I'm not able to tell them the plan of salvation, and I'm not able to... You don't have to do that. Did the Samaritan have some polished sermon? Uh-uh. He helped a person who had need. We are being called into our community to respond to whatever need we have the capacity to respond in. It was not sort of just a very subtle kind of thing that Jesus was, when he told this story, he said the priest and the Levite came by and didn't help. The message was really clear. See, Jesus was the most critical of the religious system. Of anybody or anything that he was critical of, it was that. And Jesus was saying, it may be necessary to have a temple and have a priest and have a pastor and have a board of elders and all these things. It's important to have all these things, but it doesn't stop there, folks. We need to get beyond just the church. We are called to the community. Secondly, we may be called to get into messy situations. Nobody likes messy, particularly the priest and the Levite. They liked everything orderly. just like we do in church. We like the order. We have an order of service, you know? We follow that order. We have an order of doing things. We have a good order of things. Everything is nice and neat and orderly and clean and so forth. I was a part of a church once in the past. I will not say where or when. But there was an ambitious youth pastor who had a passion for reaching out and getting the kids in the community. And he started bringing in community kids into the church. You know what happened? Within a week, people were complaining about the kids marking up the walls. Well, how can we have kids down here? All they do is mess up the church. Totally, absolutely true. Unfortunately, his tenure at the church wasn't very long. I hope, we have a beautiful building, we have a lovely building, but I hope to God that we never think that our building is more important than the people that we bring in. Amen? I don't care what they do to the walls. Walls can be painted and repaired. It's all about the people out there, folks. It's not about our nice and neat and orderly church. God's calling us to get involved with the mess that people are in. And folks, whether we know it or not, the mess is a whole lot more than the flood that came through West Liberty. People's lives are a mess. And God is calling us to get involved in other people's mess. But we don't like to. It's nice to stay clean and pure. But to be missional, God calls us, get involved in their mess. Whether it's out there or bringing them in here or whatever it is, allow ourselves to get messy. After all, stop and think. Jesus was not born in a palace, was he? Jesus was born in a messy barn. Now, when I was a kid, we knew the milk inspector was coming. We would whitewash the barn. Have you ever heard of whitewash? A few of you might know about whitewashing the barn. But folks, you can whitewash all you want, but the stuff is still there. The smell is still there. It might be covered up. It might look nice, but it's still there. Jesus was born into a messy world, both the literal physical world and the world in general. And folks, we like a nice, neat community, and we have a nice community, but God is calling us into the mess that the people are in around us. And I'm counseling all the time in Springfield, and I get involved with people's lives who are a mess. And I like you all, but I also feel a passion for the mess that people are in. And maybe sometimes, if we'd be honest, we have to admit even our lives are in a mess. And we need Christ to come into our mess. Number three, sometimes being missional means it's going to cost us time and resources. The Samaritan who came along, he wasn't busy with all the other church things. You know, he just was an ordinary man. He wasn't a preacher. He wasn't a priest. He wasn't a whatever. He was just an ordinary Joe who really was not considered anyone in the eyes of the Jewish people. He wasn't busy with all those things, but he was willing to take the time and the resources. Some of you, you know, some of you have been gracious to us. Some of you have baked bread for us and give us loaves of bread. become, you know, marvelous people at baking bread and pies and cakes and fixing meals and on and on and on. You're marvelous at that. We have a lot to offer. Well, we just need to be willing sometimes to give our time and our resources. Maybe it's our money. Maybe it's the bread we bake. Maybe it's the whatever that we can do for them, to help to do something with their chores, help them to do something at their home, just to visit them, no matter what, whatever it is, our time and our resources. And sometimes it can be real costly, but after all, true love. And you may write this down if you wish. True love is always costly. Sometimes we want to take the easy way out. Sometimes we want a minimum of cost, whatever it's going to cost us. But being missional, being sent out, means to be willing to share God's love. And oftentimes it's costly. But what did it cost Jesus for our salvation? What did it cost God to send his Son? You see, love is always costly. And lastly, the fourth thing I want us to remember is showing compassion and mercy to our neighbors is something we all can do, not just the professionals. Jesus made that clear. The professionals didn't get it. The priest and the Levite, they were too busy doing what the other things they were doing. They didn't have time to be a neighbor. They didn't have time to show that love and compassion and mercy. And so Jesus winds it all up by saying, and who was the neighbor? And the expert in the law, probably a Pharisee, said he had to admit, the one who showed mercy. If you are a person who likes to highlight your Bible or whatever, highlight that one, that phrase, the one who showed mercy. It doesn't mean you preach a sermon. It doesn't mean you say the four spiritual laws. It doesn't mean you teach a Sunday school class. It doesn't mean you do all of these things official. None of that. It's just as simple as showing God's compassion and God's mercy in whatever form your neighbor needs. That's what it is to be sent out. It's important that we come together. And it's also important that we know the importance of our church is to be sent out to our community. God has put Oak Grove Congregation in this location, in this community, out here in the cornfields, alfalfa fields, whatever we want to, out here in the country, close enough to cities and villages and all, et cetera, et cetera. God has put Oak Grove Congregation, because the building is just here. You, the people, are all over. And all the people that you contact or are in contact with, those are your neighbors. The people you work with, as well as the people who live beside you. Anyone who has a need to which you can respond. God is calling us to not be satisfied with just coming to church on Sunday morning and doing our religious thing. But if we really want to get it right with God, we will hear God's call to be sent out and share God's love and mercy with our neighbor. Because after all, we want people to come in. But I guarantee you, people will come in a whole lot easier after we have established a relationship with them and done our best to meet their needs and visit them whenever they needed it, or share a pie or whatever it is, or help them with a chore that they need around the house, or whatever it might be. When we have done that, we have opened the door to that person's heart to share God's compassion and mercy and love. Who is your neighbor? Let's pray. Oh God, in the quietness of this moment, may we hear you call us to our neighborhood. Forgive us, Lord, for being satisfied with just simply being comfortable here in the church, in the church family that you have given us, and we're so grateful, oh God, for this family. We do care about each other, and you want us to continue caring for each other, and you also want us to reach out to our neighborhood. I pray, oh God, in this moment, you would lay upon our heart and our mind one or two people that you want us in the week ahead to reach out to in a special way. It doesn't have to be anything big, spectacular, just simply small way that we can share your compassion and mercy and pray God's blessing upon our neighbor who might be in need, whatever it is. And Lord, you know the people in our community who need for us to reach out to. And so help us, Lord, to be faithful and obedient in following your voice as you call us out into our community to share your love and compassion and mercy. Amen.